I have been much in prayer for this sermon I'm going to preach to you this evening. Newly created man was meant by God to live forever and never taste the black poison of death. Death was not in the curriculum of God's plan and purpose for the people whom he had created. But blinded by his first wife Eve, Adam didn't realize that she had been blinded by the serpent, Satan of hell himself. So the great fence of protection around the perfect man and the perfect woman was rudely smashed by the temptation of Satan himself. And the woman yielded to the lie of the devil. She persuaded her husband to do so too. And so both of them were stricken and struck down in death. Not long after that, there was a funeral from the home of our first parents. The father and the mother, Adam and Eve, put on their mourning clothes. For one of Adam's twin sons, called Abel, had been cruelly murdered by his other twin brother, Cain. I want you to think tonight of the darkness of that lonely burial ground. As Eve, the broken-hearted mother, and Adam, the totally wrecked father, laid Abel's dust to rest. Of course, before that, the murderer Cain had fled away to live in the country of Nod. But he could not fly from death and hell. And one day, Cain was found out. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Be very sure that judgment is absolutely sure. Be very sure that if sin is not cleansed by the judgment of the blood of the atonement shed on Calvary, then that judgment will be taken out upon you. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And die it will. And die it must. The poison of death became the common blight of all the sons of Adam's guilty race. No wonder Isaac Watts, one of the greatest hymn writers of his day, wrote a hymn on Job chapter 23 and verse 13. It talks, this hymn, about God demanding account from every man and from every woman that walks upon this earth. Keep silence, all created things, and wait your maker's nod. My soul stands trembling while she sings the honors of our God. Life, death, and hell, and worlds unknown, hang on his firm decree. God sits on no precarious throne, nor does he borrow leave to be. Chained to his throne, a volume lies with all the fates of men, with every angel, form and size, drawn by God's eternal pen. His providence unfolds a book and makes his counsels shine. Each opening leaf and every stroke fills some wise, deep design. My God, I would not long to see my fate with curious eyes. What gloomy lines are writ for me, or what bright scenes may rise? In thy fair book of life and grace, oh, may I find my name recorded in some humble place beneath my Lord, the Lamb. If there's one thing that the inhabitants of this world need to remember, they need to remember that they're all dying men and women. It matters not how rich they are, they'll die. It matters not what good health they have at this time, they'll come to die. It matters not who they are, or what they are, or what they have done. They're all going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after death, the judgment. Every ache and every pain, every wrinkle you see stamped on a parent's brow, every accident which reveals the uncertain tenure of life and all that life gives in possessions, every funeral bell that tolls its solemn toll, these are God's reminders that we are tenants at his will upon this earth, and not by right, pensioners on the bounty of an hour. He is closing up the right of way. He's warning fairly that what we have is lent, not given. It is his. It is not ours. His mercies are so much our gain. We need to be continually reminded of these facts about death. Both race before us. The darkness that makes a deep imprint, marking us if we're unsaved for the darkest eternity. It was Henry Ward Beecher, the great American preacher, who stated once these facts concerning the nearness of death. He said, there is not far from youth the hidden certainty of death. I am speaking to some that I shall never speak to again. You are marked. You're going away. And my eye will never rest upon you again. There are some of you within a handbreadth of the grave. You don't know it. But you are. It hasn't yet appeared what's going to happen, but it will happen. If I were to say some sharp shooter hidden would launch a fated bullet into the midst of this church tonight, with what terror would of all of us rise up? And yet death stands amongst us tonight. The arrow has been taken out of the holster. And the bow has been drawn, and the arrow is fixed. And someday it will speed to you, and you will die. And someday it will speed to me, and I will die. We need to hear this message. We need to take it to heart. We need to heed it. We need to flee from the wrath to come. Death and judgment draweth nigh. To the arms of Jesus fly. Be in time. Listen, life is very short indeed. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my day as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best is altogether vanity. What solemn words. They come not from man. They come from the God that made us. Listen to these words. For as ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? A vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I wonder how little of time is left to our portion of little time. If in God's measurement I look at it, and I see it is very short indeed. How very short it must be in man's tiny measurement when we compare it to God's immense measurement. Swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day. Man's day is little indeed. There's not even a pinprick upon God's immensity. You know what the Bible says? It says the time is short. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 29 to 31. But this I say, brethren, the time it's short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. That they that weep as though they wept not. And they that rejoice, as though they rejoice not. And they that buy, as though they possess not. And they that use this world, as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. My hearer, the time is short. All the muscle is going into the mincer of time. It is torn down and taken away. Indeed, time has been swallowed up and is vanishing from us. Even the close ties of married partners come under the terrible crunch. You need to use this world, but you're not to abuse it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. How swift and deep does the harvest weapon operate? What a quick transformation is so quickly accomplished. The sickle of God, operated by the muscle of deity, is irresistible and unstoppable. Yes! The Holy Spirit was right when he got Paul to write the short sentence, time is short. Very short. Very, very short. That means that the sinner's joys are very short. Job asks, hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood? Here is something marked by God. It's marked by God in his word. And the trumpet of God blows in the ear of us all. We are going down the valley, one by one, with our faces toward the setting of life's sun. Down the valley, where the mournful cypress grows, where the stream of death in silence onward flows, we are going down the valley. We are going down the valley, one by one. The wicked walk this way. It is an old way indeed. It is the way of sin. I see the mark of Adam, the first male sinner of the human race, upon it. And I plead, I am an offspring of Adam's. I see it is a way of punishment. We are all of the nature of Cain. There were giants in the sins of these past centuries that have now fled away into the past, never to be recalled. Their dark stains have died all our souls. All of us at one time and of another have stood in an open grave, and in the casket was a loved one. Where the wicked opinion of the heart has ruled, the poison of the darkest hell follows him. Mighty man are tripped up in life and are fallen on this way. Their bones rattle a dark signal as I pass by them on the road to the grave. Solemn warnings all around us. God speaking from heaven. God writing a book to plead with the souls of men to seek the Lord while he may be found and to call upon him while he is near. But men stuff their finger in their ears and hasten on to hell. Generation after generation rebels against God and his law and his truth. The rattling of the bones of the sinful nations of the world keep up the dirge. And it is the dirge of eternal damnation. Without salvation, we're all in danger of the dreadfulness of the eternal torment. The dead souls should have heeded the words of eternal life. Old man Job said, acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace. Have you acquainted yourself with God? Are you at peace? Thereby good shall come upon thee. The only good that can come upon you is heeding the spoken and written word of God. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense. Thou wilt lift up thy face unto God. Meet up with God tonight. I'm glad that the gospel is a gospel of grace. You don't need to meet God as the judge. You can meet him as the justifier. You don't need to meet God and reject his son. You can meet God and receive his son. Yes, God calls us to himself, for only his arm can lift us from hell and from the hell that we deserve. Only the face of Jesus can bring a smile of real joy to our sinful and sinning hearts. I was struck this week with the word over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed every day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. I'm telling you, it's only God can bring out the beautiful rainbow for the valley of the tears of death. The gospel that I preach is a gospel of hope. It's a gospel of peace. It's a gospel of life. It's a gospel of forgiveness. It's a gospel of pardon. It's a gospel that puts me eternally on the road to heaven. And it is a message that one day will be absolutely fulfilled when I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. I know what's going to happen. A nail-pierced hand is going to grab my hand and going to say, welcome. And what a welcome that will be. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. I wonder why. Let me let you into a secret. Because everyone in heaven is like Jesus. Everyone. You may have looked in the mirror for a long time and tried to do something with your hair or your appearance, and you made a terrible mistake, for you can't improve your personality or your person. But thank God there's one who makes us over again. There is a birth that death cannot touch. It's the new birth. There is an experience that puts me beyond death and brings me into the realm of everlasting life. And best of all, makes me like the Savior who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, my friend, meet Jesus tonight. Raise your cry to heaven. And say, I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. I'm glad tonight there is a gospel to be preached. It's the good news. And I'm glad the worst sinner who truly believes that moment from Jesus, the pardon receives. And I'm glad it's without money and without price. Oh, 'twas love. 'Twas wondrous love. The love of God to me that brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Don't miss him on life's pathway, sinner. For if you do, you'll go on down that pathway to hell. But turn while the Spirit in mercy is pleading, and steer for the harbor bright. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? God forbid it should happen. God forbid that a soul from this meeting should take the wrong turning on the road and go to hell. To dwell in the prison house of a lost eternity and woe and curse for all the eons of that great eternity that cannot be measured by the measurement of time. May God bless his word and seal our hearts to it for Jesus' sake.